opening with an anticlimax, the opening track. Let's quickly write the things. The first things that Muslims believe, let's quickly write them. The Muslims believe, first, Allah. Allah. Okay. Number two, messengers, our prophets. So let's put prophets. And we know that prophets are messengers. Prophets are messengers of Allah. Okay. Allah, prophets, and three?
Angels.
Angels. Okay. Follow. Angels and what else?
Four.
Now they might not come in this order, but we're going to put them like this. It's okay. In fact, I think we have them in the order that they come. Where the angels should go? Books? Yeah, we have this order is good. We'll leave it like that. B-O-O-K-S, books. And five? Life after death. Can you spell life, L-I-F-E, life? Life. Can you spell after?
A-F-T-E-R.
A-F-T-E-R. Can you spell death?
D-E-T-E.
D-E-A-T-H. All right. Life after death. And there's one more.
Reward,
and punishment. R-E-R-E-W-A-R-D, W-A-R-D, reward, and how do I spell that? A what? And, reward and punishment. A-N-D, right. A-N-D, and, P-U-N-I-S. H meant M E N T, right? Reward and punishment. Okay. Now, these are the six first things among these six things among the first things that Muslims are to believe. We believe Allah. There is no ilah except Allah. No ilah means nothing to pray to, nothing to pray to. Nothing to fear as a God except Allah. Okay, ilah means that that we pray to. Christians pray like this, and they pray sometimes just like this, with the eyes closed. And Muslims pray like that too sometimes, with the eyes closed, just like that. Christians pray like this sometimes. Muslims pray like that, right? Christians pray like this, but Muslims don't pray like this. Right? Okay. All right. Muslims pray like this, right? What do we mean when we pray like this? Yes. Give me strength. Give me knowledge. Give me guidance. Give me love in my heart for my brothers and sisters, for my mommy and my daddy and my sisters and my brothers. Give me money when I can't get it and have no way to get it and need it. So everything that we need, if we can't get it by our own self, if we're in desperate need, we ask Allah to help us. And maybe Allah will help us by helping us through somebody else, somebody on a job, mommy, daddy, a good friend, a brother, a sister. So Allah help us through our loved ones and through strangers sometimes. Is that right? All right. So Allah is the one we pray to, the one we obey and worship above everything else. And Allah is the only one who has power over all things. Allah is the only one who has power over all things. We have power over some things. There are material things that have power over some things. But there is nothing that has power over all things except the one who made or created all things. And that is who?
Allah.
La ilaha illallah. No one to pray to except Allah. All right. Allah says in the Quran that I am the one who created from the beginning, who started creation. He says that I am the God of your very earliest forefathers. I am the God of your very earliest forefathers. So Allah, he didn't just become our Allah. He didn't just become our God. He has been our God ever since creation was made. There has never been any time that Allah wasn't God. So we say things can't exist forever. Something has to make it. But can anything make Allah? No. Allah makes everything else. And there is this expression that says, La tujad wahdaha, meaning that things cannot exist by themselves. They have to have something to cause them to come into existence. And we know that life, food, all these things are brought into existence by something. By the sun, by the air, by water, by the elements in the earth, etc. So we know everything has to be started by something. Even the earth, can it come into existence by itself? Can the sun come into existence by itself? Something has science. Everybody that's got wisdom know that something has to start it. But we say there's something that nothing started. That's Allah. That's Allah. If something started Allah, then that thing would be the starter. And then something would have to start it. So we keep going back and keep going back. We should finally come to something that was existing alone before anything was started. Does that make good sense? Finally, we have to come to something that was existing alone before anything was started. And that's Allah. So we believe in Allah. We believe in His prophets. We believe in His angels. How come we believe in His angels? Because the prophets say that Allah told them to do this. We say, Allah, say, who are you talking about? You're not talking about John. You're not talking about Mary. You're not talking about the teacher. Say, who are you talking about? The prophets say, I'm talking about the one that created us and the sun, the moon, and the stars. Then the people say, how in the world can you get a message from something like that? Say, who gave it to you? They said, Allah gave it. They said, how? We know how we speak to you, Mr. Prophet. But now, how did Allah? You say the one that made the sun and the moon and everything, and he has no existence like this? Allah can exist without these things? We can't see him with our eyes? Where? Show me is Allah. The Bible said, the Holy Quran said, that the people said, Moses, show us this Allah. Okay, Moses, you keep telling us about this Allah. The Bible said that, Holy Quran said that people said, okay, Moses, show us this Allah among us. We want to see him in the public. You've been seeing him in privacy. We want to see him in the public. All right. Moses said, okay, you will see him. Allah punished them terribly. And they began to suffer very badly. They say, Moses, we don't want to see Allah. We don't like the way he looks. Tell him to go back. Yeah. All right, so we believe in Allah. And we believe in his angels because there are some things that we can't see with the physical eye. And those things bring messages to the mind, to the heart, to the spirit. And those things that bring messages from God, Allah, to the spirit of the prophet, or to the heart of the prophet, as the Holy Quran says that Allah revealed it ala qalbihi, to his heart. So those things that bring messages to the heart and to the mind of the holy people, especially the prophets, they are called angels because we can't see them like we see chalk. We call things that we can't see spirit many times. Have you ever heard the expression, the spirit of alcohol? On some bottles, you see the word written spirit on alcohol bottles. Because there's some power in alcohol that makes you crazy. It makes you feel good and it makes you feel bad. It makes you act crazy too, right? So that, you're right, it gets you drunk. That's what I mean. Get you high, they get you drunk. Right. Okay, so they call it spirit. The people that made the work with the alcohol and began to drink it, they call it spirit because they there's something spooky about this alcohol. It can make people act crazy. So a spirit names something that you can't see like you see chalk or something. An angel is called something like spirit. We can't see with the physical eye. But angels exist. And angels help us. And Allah says in the Holy Quran that I have assigned angels to you on your right and on your left. Mean angels to you to help you in your strength. Angels to help you in your weaknesses. The right hand is stronger usually than the left. And the right leg is usually stronger than the left. Even the right side of the body, they say, is usually bigger than the left side. So Allah says he will assign angels to the right and to the left, meaning to help us in our strength and also to help us in our weakness. We have weaknesses, the angels will help us. Sometimes the angels help us by making us suffer. So we'll know that this is my weakness, I have to get away from it, you see? And Allah says he has assigned angels to go before us and behind us. That means he has given us certain things that help us to see and understand how to move forward. And what we can't see and don't know, Allah has assigned certain things or made certain things in the makeup and in the creation that help protect us against the things we don't see and don't know. This is the meaning of that. So these are forces. They're called angels. Forces that serve Allah and they never disobey Allah. That's what we mean by angels. Forces that serve Allah and never disobey Allah. How come they never disobey Allah? They don't have free mind like we have. We have our own free mind. We can obey and we can disobey. The angels have no free mind. They cannot disobey. Do you think the angels marry each other? No, they do not marry. Does electricity and magnetism marry? Well, they associate with each other, but we don't call it marriage. Okay, so we have these fundamental, our first thing that we believe, Allah, his prophets. How does Allah reach his prophets? Through his forces that obey him, his angels. And we have the books. How do we get the books? The prophet, if he can write, are the righteous people. Write down what the prophet told them from God. And that's how we get the books. And we have what? Life after death. Life after death. So Muslims believe in that. And we have what's next? Reward and punishment. Reward and punishment works in everything. In everything. It's the law, the power of reward and punishment. It works in everything. Allah doesn't do this. Say this kid act bad. Allah doesn't come. Allah doesn't operate like that. And in a way, he does. But it's not like, it's not, we can't explain it like that. It needs a lot of interpretation. Actually, I didn't hit, actually, Wallace himself didn't beat you. What is that you feel? From what? From Wallace's hand. You see? So actually, Allah works the same way we work, and that's why he designed us like this, so we can understand and speak his truth. You see? Actually, I, inside me, I said, this boy needs to hit. And I go, I hit him. But I don't hit him with what made the decision. I hit him with the thing that serves what made the decision. Right? And that's exactly where Allah works. But Allah, he has more than just, he has everything. He can hit me with my hand. He can hit me with your hand. He can hit me with the heat in the air. He can hit me with a lot of things. He can hit me with starvation. He can hit me with hatred. Hatred from you. Hatred from myself. He can hit me with fear. Fear in myself. Fear from you. So Allah has everything that he has created to hit me with. Right? And that's what he does. He doesn't hit us directly from himself, but he calls the thing that we have misused to punish us. Whatever we have misused, Allah calls that thing to hit us. If you misuse your heart, he will cause your heart to suffer one day. If you misuse your eyes, he will cause your eyes to be to cause you to be the way, the means for punishing you. If you misuse your intelligence, your smartness, Allah will one day cause your smartness, your sense, your intelligence to punish you. And isn't that justice? Justice is that the thing you misuse should punish you for misusing. So the Holy Quran says, Prophet Muhammad in his hadith said, and the Holy Quran backs it up, says that there will come a time when Allah, not while we live physically, while we live physically, this will happen in part. Holy Quran says Allah reward us while we live physically, that means as physical body. And he punishes us while we live as physical body, that means on this earth like this. But even after the body dies and goes to the grave, the Holy Quran says Allah will make the conscience open up and become aware of everything it has been doing in its whole life. Says, and at that time, the conscience will see that it had been responsible for everything that its members and its control did. Says, the hand will come to the conscience, and the person will say, oh, hand, why did I not let you do this? Why did I let you be the means to punish my conscience like this? So, eyes, why did I let you be the means to punish me like this? All the wrongs that we have done will come back to our conscience. And we won't be able to escape it. We won't have the body and the means to come back into this world and play with John, or play with Mary, or go to the ball game, or do something else to get our minds on something else. The conscience will be separated from this world, and you won't be able to put nothing on your conscience but what Allah will be putting on your conscience by separating you from the world that you once grounded yourself in to drown your conscience. So this will come, and Allah will make us see all the wrong we have done. He will also make us see all the right we have done. If my right is much greater than my wrong, won't that be a peaceful time for me? That'll be a good time for me. It won't hurt me. I will see all the good and say, oh, I did so much good, so much more good than I did bad. So I say, Allah, thank you for making me, helping me to be good so that I can have a peaceful conscience and a peaceful rest while seeing all my bad and all of my good. There are some people who are very smart. They know how to buy insurance for that time while they live. So they're constantly watching and remembering how much good and how much bad they did. And then when they say, my record is getting bad, I have to strive and do better. Say, I don't like what I did yesterday. Yesterday I told a lie. I didn't have to tell that lie. Today I'm going to watch that. So I don't like what I did last week. Last week I tricked a brother out of something. I don't like that. This week I'm going to keep away from that. So those people who work, who look at what they're doing and work to make what they're doing better and more pleasing to Allah and themselves, they're the ones who are paying insurance. So they'll know that they won't have to suffer when that time comes. Now, I don't think Allah is a God to have to wait for you to die physically to get you. He gets you every day, every night. You are never away from Allah. Nothing can escape Allah. Allah is closer to you than anything else. Your own life is not as close to you as Allah is. Allah is inside your body right now. Allah is in your head right now. In your heart right now. In your whole body right now. And everywhere else, Allah is existing right now. How else could He protect and watch over everything except that He is present there? Can we see things that we are not around? Can we know things that are separated from us? Nothing is separated from Allah. Allah is in touch with everything. Now, so we have these things here that we believe. The reward, the power, the judgment of Allah, the power, the rule, the power, the rule that works in everything that Allah has created. To reward, if you use it right, to reward you with good, if you use it right, and to punish you with pain or with suffering or losses if you use it wrong. We should be most careful, especially about how we use ourselves. Understand that. The first thing to be careful of how you use it is yourself. If you use yourself properly, you don't have to worry too much about other things. If I see that my hands do the right thing, my feet do the right thing, my hands and my feet pleases what Allah wants, my mouth, my tongue, my speech, my eyes pleases what Allah wants, my ears pleases what Allah wants, my ears are open. They never close by themselves. Is that right? My mouth can close by itself. My eyes can close by themselves. But there is something that will never close by itself, and that's my ears. You see how wise Allah is. You see how great Allah is. Allah gave us something that, well, you can close your mouth and stop talking. But you can't close your ears and stop hearing. But Allah gave us a finger that fits very well. Right? Okay. Well, there's a time when I have to tell my ears, stop hearing that. If I can't shut it out with my concentration, I can put my mind on something else so strong until even though you shout and scream, I won't understand, I won't be paying attention, I won't hear that well. It just be noise. Okay, so if we can't do that, if we can't muster up or get that kind of control over our concentration, we have these fingers. Put them in the ear. Don't listen to things that go into your mind and hurt you. Don't listen to things that go into your mind and make you other than what Allah wants for you. If you can't shut it out of your mind, you can't walk away from it, put your hand here. They say, why are you putting your hand here? Because I don't want to hear your no good language. I don't want to hear your no good mouth. So I'm putting my fingers in my ears. I want to please Allah. Allah gave me these ears to use for the right purpose, not to use to listen to your nasty talk or to your hatred. I don't want to hear it. Right? Okay. So they say, oh, you sissy. Don't pay any attention. Never reply back. Never say you a sissy too, or I'm not a sissy. Don't be bothered with the fool. You don't care what they say or what they believe. But if mama say you a sissy, say, mama, what? Why in the world you call me a sissy, mama? Mama, explain that, please. But they ain't your mama. You don't have to live with them. You don't have to ask them for confess. Tell them to go to hell. Tell him the chief said it's okay. Okay, so we have to make everything in ourselves first please Allah. Once we make the things that are within ourselves, like hands and all these eyes and ears, please Allah, we don't have to worry about the other things. All right? Okay, so let us now go to the board. And we're not going to put the five pillars up here. We're just going to say them, recite them by heart. We're going to go to the board and we're going to write the whole alphabet by heart and then close out, okay? So, we remove this now. While we're removing this, we want to recite the first thing of conduct, our practice. First is to say, or to bear witness, and what to bear witness means? To say so that others hear us. That's what the bear witness means, right? To say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that there is nothing to pray to or worship but Allah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is a messenger of Allah. Why do we say I bear witness that Muhammad is a messenger of Allah? We say it to let people know that Muhammad is not Allah, not God. We love Prophet Muhammad, but Prophet Muhammad is not God. He's not Allah. He did not create this world. He does not control this world. He had to pray to Allah, and he came much late. Okay, but on time as a prophet. Okay, now we have as number two, the things that we practice, our conduct, and our conduct as first thing. Number two is salat, what you did. Salat, you make salat, right? Allahu Akbar, you make salat. We have number three, zakat. What is zakat? Giving. Giving, doing good. Giving money to help good causes, to help propagation of Islam, to help keep the things we need for our Muslim life. And also doing good, helping each other be better, giving knowledge to people who need knowledge. All of that is zakat. Cleaning yourself and making your own body nice and clean, dressing yourself properly, brushing your teeth on time every day when you should, and keeping your hair and your body clean and nice, that's zakat. Doing that for somebody else is a better zakat after you've done it for yourself. It starts at home and spreads abroad. Okay? All right, so we have five, don't we? Five fundamental things that we practice of our conduct. One is to bear witness that there is no ilah, nothing to pray to but Allah. Nothing. I-N-G, right? Nothing to pray to but Allah. That's number one. Nothing to pray to but Allah. And number two, prayer. Prayer. See, once we know what to pray to, we can pray again. If we don't know this, we might start praying the wrong way or saying the wrong way.